It's time now to get the hell out of your life. A weekly broadcast with real people, sharing real struggles and offering real hope. Today's show will encourage, inspire, and empower you to face life's challenges with a bold confidence and renewed hope. Now, let's join our host, Ron Myers, the promoter.
Hello, my friends. It is so good to be with you once again. How do you like this spring weather? It's beautiful, and it is so colorful. I think this is my favorite time of the year. Also, I do want to give a shout out to my little kitty cats outside. I know they can't hear me, but maybe they can through the walls, but I've got a flood of cats around my office. But I do leave food out there for them. They are so cute, especially when I dangle that little food in front of them. I do want to answer a question I received from a listener. Am I a minister? And if I am, where is my church? No, I'm not a minister, and I do not have a church. I am a Christian entrepreneur, a businessman who has just really lived life by pursuing my dreams, following Jesus, and having a great time in life. I think we need more Christian businessmen, entrepreneurs, to share their stories, to share their faith, and that's what this show is all about. And this week, my guest is Jesse McBride. Now, he is a missionary. Now, he is a minister, and he has a church all over the world, wherever he goes or wherever God sends him. And today, he's going to share his story. And you're going to find out when you listen to Jesse's story that he was at a point in life where he really didn't know what he wanted to do. He had dabbled in this and dabbled in that, but one day he received a little prompting, a little nudge inside that, well, kind of led him to his destiny, and he's going to tell you all about it. Jesse McBride, the missionary man, welcome to the studio. So, Jesse, what's your story?
One caveat in that, I think we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called, you know, in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. And that wasn't just for what we call missionaries or just for pastors. We're all supposed to, in our going, live on life on mission. And so I'd say we're all real life missionaries. So I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area. And so I was born in Germany. My dad was military. I was born in Germany. My sister was born in Washington State, and we were both delivered by the same doctor. There's a lot of people here on the coast that have been born in the same hospital, not by the same doctor, but lived in Washington, D.C., right outside of Washington, D.C. for about 20 years. Hurricane Katrina hit. We came, me, my mother, my father, and sister came down here in 2007 to volunteer. We all at different points felt like the Lord was saying, hey, this is where I want you to be. And so I don't remember who the first person was, said, hey, what if we move down there? And someone else said, I thought the same thing. And so we said, well, let's pray about it. We had come down in February. And so one act of wisdom, discernment, we said, let's go down in July just to make sure that we can survive the heat. And so we came down again in July to volunteer. And we said, this is where God's calling our family. And so my dad had a construction company that I was working for him at the time. He had 2 years of work lined up and closed his business up in Northern Virginia. My sister was an architect. My mom was a teacher. Parents sold their house, sold everything, moved down here. We ran a volunteer organization in Pascagoula for about a year and a half. And then that closed down and we stayed here. That idea of, you know, finding God's purpose for us in life. I knew that I wasn't doing what God had created me to do. I was not living a full God-honoring life for several years. But part of that, I just knew, I was like, God, I know there's something. And so I applied to vet school. I applied to nursing school. I applied all sorts of things. I thought about military. And I was able to, I led a mission trip with the church that I was at the time. And it was during that mission trip, I really felt like God was starting to put on my heart, this is what I have for you. And so kind of ran from that for a while, but also was praying about it. And there was through a youth event here on the coast. It was probably the loudest that I ever felt God speak to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but the Holy Spirit. I was standing in the back of the room in a sound booth, looking out over these youth, and the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, said, this is it. This is what I have for you. And I was like, what? Like, no one in my family had ever been in ministry, any of those things. And so all that to say, I still kind of ran from that for a little bit. But thankfully, there were some people in my life that really spoke into me. And God did a huge change in my life. For me, I felt like a step of obedience in that path was to go back to seminary. So I went to seminary. And then I was a youth pastor for 6 years, and then also a part-time with a church development and missions organization, and did both of those part-time until 2020, went into full-time missions. And then a couple years ago, my wife and I started our own ministry. And so we live here on the coast. We're really, God has really called me as a pastor to pastors. And so we do that here on the coast, but then also internationally, we go down mainly right now to Central America, training pastors, caring for pastors, raising up leaders. And we have a team down there that continues to walk through life with these pastors and leaders.
A lot of pastors are leaving the ministry because they're just tired and burnout. Mm. Is that true?
Absolutely. And the world is just heavy. And pastors are not immune to that. And so a lot of times pastors, we don't have probably time to get too much into the conversation, but just church oftentimes in the U.S. is built in a way that it's a pastor doesn't have a lot of close relationships with their people in their church. Oftentimes a pastor, sometimes there's so much pressure and expectation on them, on their kids, that oftentimes a pastor doesn't feel safe to be able to go to someone and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. And, no. And not just a sin, as with sin, I'm talking about
just
anxiety. Yeah. You know, Barna and Lifeway are the kind of the two leading church research groups out there. And they've both put out there that really COVID, the spikes of depression and anxiety and loneliness spiked so high during COVID for pastors because instantly it injected so much division within a church. So for every person in a church that felt during COVID, the churches should shut their doors to truly show love to people, there was someone else on the other side of the proverbial aisle that said, no, if we truly love Jesus, we'll keep our doors open. And a pastor is leading both those people. How does a pastor minister to these people that feel very strongly on both sides? And then not to mention all the political and then just the cultural divisions that we have. And so many times that those influences come into the church and pastors have to minister to all those people. And so that leads to stress or anxiety or depression. It was either the Lifeway or Barna studies. It said over the last 6 months, have you thought of getting out of ministry? And they did it in beginning of 2020, end of 2020, beginning of 2021, end of 2021 and 2022. And each time there was like a 4 to 8% jump of pastors that said, wow, yes, in the last 6 months, I've thought of getting out of ministry. And the three greatest reasons was loneliness, political divisions within the church, and stress.
I want you to share with the listeners some of the stories and the success that you're having in Belize.
We're in Belize and Mexico and working in Guatemala and just beginning to work in Honduras as well. It seems like there's a little more of an openness in the church there. And I think part of it is because there's a hunger for the word of God and for who Jesus is. And you and I have already talked a lot about this, because for many of these people, Jesus is all they have. And the reality is, Ron, Jesus is all I have. Jesus is all you have. But oftentimes here in the U.S., when we get sick, what do? We go to the doctor, or we go to our medicine cabinet, or in some of these countries, what do? When they're sick, they pray.
Wow.
They pray. And so I'm not discounting medical science. God has given doctors in the medical field the wisdom to be able to help people in those things. But here in the U.S., we have so much around us. We have so much to, quote unquote, fix all our problems, that oftentimes, and I use a term called soundbite theology, where it's so easy just to take a soundbite and then build a whole theology or cancel someone or whatever. So what I'm about to say, it'd be easy to take just this, but here in the U.S., we don't need Jesus. We don't, because if we have a mental issue, we just go to this mental professional. And again, I'm not, there's need for that.
You're bringing up a very good point.
But if we have a physical issue, a health issue, we go to this doctor. We have so many specialized doctors. There's finger doctors and wrist doctors. And, you know, every specific part of our body, there's a specific medical field for that. And so when we're sick, we go to this doctor. When something breaks in our home, we just get it on Amazon, or we can just get it fixed almost whatever. And if it's not there within 2 days, we freak out because I pay for Amazon Prime. It should be here within 2 days. And so all those things, I think that even comes within the church. We don't see some of what really I believe Jesus wants for the church, because we're not truly living in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of what Jesus meant the church to be.
So when you went to Belize, were you ever in or with a group of community down there that they were hearing about Jesus from you?
I'm not sure if I've been in that setting down there where it's the first time they've ever heard about Jesus. I do believe there's been lots of times where people have said, wow, I've never heard that. And I'm just reading from scripture.
Wow.
And so there have been a lot of, and part of that is too, there's a biblical literacy problem. Here in the church, certainly, but down there, literally, there is a literacy problem. So specifically in Belize, school is mandatory, but it costs. But the law is that if a family can't pay, that they can't be denied the education. But that's up to what we would equate as eighth grade. And so because there's a lot of poverty there, parents say, well, if I don't have to pay for school, why would I pay for school? But the issue is that at eighth grade, they have to pay their balance in full to be able to go to what we would call ninth grade. And then if parents haven't been paying for, 13 years, they're certainly not going to be able to suddenly be able to pay for that. So I say all that to say there is in Belize, there's like an education deficiency past what we would say in eighth grade. And so all I'd say there's just not a lot of engagement with God's word, literally reading the word when the Holy Spirit just reveals himself in a real way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when someone encounters that in a way that is new, there is a joy to that. It's that joy of when we first believed. And it's that joy that Jesus came to give us. And it's not this just a feeling of, hey, I've got this, but it's a realization that I am saved, that I'm no longer in bondage to some of these things, that I can walk in that freedom of who Christ is and who he has designed me to be.
Amen. Listeners, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Jesse McBride, missionary. You go to Belize and you're going to Honduras, is it?
Right now we're in Belize. In April, we'll be down there in Belize and Mexico. And then either this summer or later this year, we'll be in Honduras. And we're also working in Guatemala.
Now, what's the name of your ministry if people want to find out more about you? How can they find out?
So it's Para Ministries. So Para is just P-A-R-A. Para just means in Greek, just means alongside. So that's our heart, is to come alongside pastors, seem like parallel. And so it's Para Ministries is the name of our ministry. And that's our desire, to come alongside pastors and church leaders to be able to be healthy, to be able to know the word of God, to teach the word of God, to be able to make disciples, and to be able to be in their communities and have an impact that God's designed them to.
So now we have you in here. What would you tell someone out there that's listening that isn't really sure about Jesus, or if they want a relationship with Jesus?
I think if someone's listening right now and they're not sure about Jesus, but they're listening to this podcast, there's something in them that is causing them to seek Jesus. And I believe God's word teaches us that's the Holy Spirit drawing. Getting to your question, the reality is we don't have to be in a church. We don't have to be at a revival. We don't have to be in any specific setting for the Holy Spirit to draw us, for Jesus to transform our lives. And so whether we're driving down the street, whether we're working out in the yard, whether we're in a bar, whether we're at a strip club, the Holy Spirit, his power is not limited to a specific location, a specific purpose, a specific place. And so someone that is listening to this says, I don't know about this whole Jesus thing. Just even saying that, I think, is powerful to say, Jesus, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know who you are. Would you just reveal yourself to me?
There you go.
Would you make yourself known to me? Because Jesus wants to reveal himself to us. Jesus Absolutely. Wants to make himself known. And that's why I say we're all missionaries, is that that could, so someone right now might be listening in the car and they're about to walk into a retail store. And that cashier that's checking them out, they might be someone that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that cashier might just speak to them in a way that shows them love, or that cashier might just be able to share something that touches them in a way that points them closer to Jesus. And so that cashier wouldn't say they're a missionary, but they are being used by Jesus to minister to someone.
So in other words, they're expressing Jesus in everything they do.
That's right.
When you're doing life with Jesus, it's just, it comes out. That's right. And that's what I want people to get, because we know a lot of you are struggling and it is tough out there, but there is someone that can take your problems and he can begin showing you how to do life with him. And that is Jesus. And Jesse, we're almost out of time. I would like you to pray for our listeners, anyone listening now. Mm-hmm. And listener, before Jesse prays, I want you to bring to your mind something that you're dealing with in your life.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. And again, those of you that are listening, if you are feeling something, and living for Jesus and the Holy Spirit is much more than a feeling, but he draws us. And oftentimes that is, we're feeling or thinking something that we've never felt or thought before. And that's the Holy Spirit drawing, to just press into that. And whether you've been hurt by a church or have no church experience, Jesus loves you. Jesus has a plan for you. In Ephesians, it says that he created us to do good works, to live for him, to live on purpose for him, to live on mission for him. And in that is freedom, in that is abundance, and in that is only true joy, is being found in living a life that is on mission for Jesus. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And God, I don't know who's listening, Lord. But even if there's just one person listening right now, God, that just is at the end of themselves, that is saying, I don't know, I hear you saying this, but I've tried Jesus before. I've tried church. I've tried this and that. And I've been disappointed. I've been broken. I've been hurt. Lord, those things are not of you. And so, Lord, I pray for spiritual healing. I pray for relational healing for anyone that might be listening right now. God, just that you would reveal yourself to them in just a mighty and powerful way, Lord, that they might even just open your word for the first time, and just as, because it's living and breathing, that you would come alive to them, Lord, that maybe they would just call someone. Maybe they'll call up Ron and just say, hey, I don't know what this means, but can you share more with me, Lord? Just whatever that looks like, Lord, that as someone is listening right now and is being drawn by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would just press in. They would just press into you, and they would know that you love them, and that they are loved, and they are created for a specific purpose, because you are creator. You are the God that created all things and uphold all things. And we just thank you. So God, I also pray for those that are listening that are followers of you, God, that Lord, that they would not be content with just going to church, that they would just be seeking you of, God, how do you want to use me in my office, in my family, in my community, Lord, just through that as your followers, just here in Mississippi on the coast, Lord, just live in a way that is on fire for you, that is being used by you, just Lord, that things would happen, God, as your people begin to love, begin to live in a way that is transformative in just such a powerful way. So God, again, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for this ministry, and for those that are listening, Lord, that they you would just draw them to you, and pray these things in your name.
Amen.
I want to thank Jesse for sharing his story. You know, Jesse's story reminds us that God is in the moving business. That's right. When he wants to move us into a new assignment or to promote us in life, it begins with prompting. In other words, our spirit begins to sense a change is coming. Maybe you get a little restless. Maybe you can't sleep at night, but you can't put your finger on it. But something is about to change in your life, and that is God trying to get your attention. Now, when that happens, you can do one of two things. You can ignore them, self-medicate yourself, and hope the promptings will go away. Or you can do the exciting thing, the thing that Jesus wants you to do, and that is to be still and listen and know that God is about to download some awesome assignment in your life. Jesse and his family came to the Gulf Coast to help us residents after Hurricane Katrina's devastation. Now, friends, just in case you were not here along the Gulf Coast, it was terrible. Katrina leveled the entire Gulf Coast from New Orleans to Mobile, Alabama. Personally, my house had 8 feet of water. I was also living my dream as a Christian radio station manager. And, you know, things were going good until Katrina. And then all of a sudden, I had to balance my life with rebuilding my house and the radio station. But the radio station was awesome because we had radio station personnel all over the Gulf Coast, helping, praying, dropping off supplies. And each afternoon, I had the pleasure to interview individuals who came to the coast to help us. When I say they came from the north, the south, the east, and the west. But here's something I really want to share with you today. Two incredible life lessons I learned from these wonderful people that came here to help us. One was they were at home minding their own business, doing life as a family would do life. They saw the news and they could feel the promptings. Go to the Gulf Coast. People need help. And most of all, they need love. And friends, they came and they came. And thank God they came with love, supplies, and compassion. The other lesson was the unexpected blessings of the volunteers. They said they just listened as people told them what happened to them during Katrina. They said, "Ron, we never expected to be so blessed by people who lost everything. We came here to minister to them, and they are ministering to us." It caused many of them, just like Jesse and his family, to pick up and moved right here to the Gulf Coast. Thank you, Jesus. I think one of my favorite parts of Jesse's story is when he talked about down in Belize or Honduras, when he's down there doing his mission work, of how these people have no access to drugstores, retail markets, and they have to do one thing. They actually rely on Jesus for their headaches, their pains, their problems in camp. Maybe the next time we're sick, we might want to start with a prayer. Just a thought. What about you? Do you feel something stirring within your spirit? Perhaps a change is on the way. Maybe God is ready to download a brand new assignment, a new direction into your life. Have you been praying for a change? Are you looking for a change? Then I suggest to do what I do. I take some quiet time, I get alone, and then I have my daily conversation with Jesus, and I'm open, I'm honest, and I'm transparent. See, that's what Jesus needs from us, an open, willing heart to listen, someone that doesn't know all the answers, and then I listen to the Spirit. I'll read in the Bible, I'll do whatever it takes to hear. And when you hear from God in the promptings, friends, it does something. I call it the fountain of youth because it just ignites a passion inside of you that you are going to pursue. Jesse's story today is a reminder that the promptings and the stirrings that we may receive from God when he wants to move or promote us cannot be taken lightly. His story also highlights the importance of helping and supporting others, especially, my friend, in times of need. Today can be the best day of your life if you're willing to trust Jesus. That's right. Trust the finished work of Jesus. He did it all on the cross so you and I can have fellowship, forgiveness, and faith in him 24/7. Simply call upon the name of Jesus, invite him into your heart, and you will get the hell out of your life.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
Compassion International presents the Love and Light Tour with Colton Dixon and Jordan Felice at First Baptist Gulfport, Sunday night, April 7th. You will be my life. Two incredible artists, one powerful night. Coming to First Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi, April 7th. Get your tickets now for the Love and Light Tour at ColtonDixon.com and JordanFelice.com.
Ron will be back in a moment to wrap up today's conversation. We want to encourage you today with God's promise to you. It comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's promise to you when you choose to commit your plans and future to Him. Now, back to Ron.
Friends, I want to close out today's show with this little story. I have a brick pathway in my backyard, and for the last many years, I use Roundup to keep the weeds from growing over the pathway. Well, we have a new puppy, little Kobe, and I don't want to put Roundup outside the backyard, so I'm letting them grow. And friends, I discovered something. They bloom a beautiful flower. Friends, isn't that like life sometimes, that we get around these toxic people, these Roundup people, and they don't see the beauty in us. They don't see our worthiness. They don't see the potential that we have. And their effect, their attitude, their Roundup disposition stops us from growing. Well, I'm telling you today, get away from those toxic Roundup people and let that flower, let yourself bloom with Jesus. Friends, you have something to say, something to do, and something to tell the world. He needs you in full bloom this spring. Until next week, this is Ron Myers reminding you that Jesus loves you, I love you, and when you get the hell out of your life, you begin to bloom.
Get the Hell Out of Your Life is underwritten by the Christmas City Gift Show. We invite you to come shop with over 255 vendors from all over the United States from November 8th through the 10th inside the Coast Convention Center, located on the beach in Biloxi, Mississippi. You can find more information at ChristmasCityGiftShow.com. Thanks for listening. And if you would like to share your story of what God has done in your life or listen to previous episodes, please visit our website, thepromoter.org. Join us next week for another episode of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
Compassion International presents the Love and Light Tour with Colton Dixon and Jordan Felice at First Baptist Gulfport, Sunday night, April 7th. You will be my life. Two incredible artists, one powerful night. Coming to First Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi, April 7th. Get your tickets now for the Love and Light Tour at ColtonDixon.com and JordanFelice.com.